Word. Today's scripture lesson is the basis on which Pastor Chris will be giving his message, and it comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. So just listen as I read the Lord Jesus Christ speaking and teaching to his disciples. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. May God bless his word. And may Chris please come up and give us the word.
There's a lot kind of going on the stage, so I'll just kind of stand here. Well, good morning again. It is good to see all of you. I think we're still trying to get this going. Yeah, there you go. All right, that's it. So we have been going through a series on prayer. And these past 2 weeks, Pastor Tim has been talking about the Lord's Prayer that we find in Matthew chapter 6. And this is the famous prayer, the Lord's Prayer that we often recite. And it's kind of cool the last couple of weeks when it showed up and the scripture reader would read it, people would just start reading along or praying along because it is so familiar to us. But it's 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tim, he focused on the first half of it and kind of talked about this idea of your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is a prayer for us when we pray to really come into this place where we're aligning ourselves with God and really asking God to, hey, you know what? I want to be a part of what you are doing here on earth. You know, God doesn't just want us to think future and just to be like, hey, the only goal I want to do is just to get into heaven and that's it. But he wants us to be a part of what he's doing right now on earth. And this prayer, when we pray, the Lord's Prayer, you know, this should remind us that, God, you're doing something here, and I want to be a part of that. So I want to see your will be done right now on earth. Last week, he talked about forgiveness. And we kind of was reminded that, again, God not only forgives us, just so that we can be forgiven, but he forgives us so that we can forgive others. And again, this idea of going into the world and extending God's grace, right, to those around us. And again, being a part of what he's doing. And so a lot of times when we pray, we know that it's very selfish, right? It's really focused on just us and what God can do for us. But really, when God was teaching his disciples and teaching us to pray, it's not just focused on us. It's really focused on others and focused on what God is doing in the world. And we're going to continue to talk about that today as we talk about prayer and fasting. And often these things go hand in hand, prayer and fasting. And we will get into a little bit more of what that looks like. All right, but let's go ahead and pray one more time, and then we'll get into the word. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much just for this time that we can gather together. We thank you for just your word and that we have, and we pray that right now as we read it, as we think about it, as we hear from it, that you would speak clearly, that it would be your voice that we hear, and that we would really learn how to pray and how to fast and what that looks like for your kingdom. And so may you just bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just last month, we went through Lent, and I know for some of you guys and a lot of my other friends, we gave up stuff for Lent, right? We fasted for Lent. Some people would, I knew, fasted from certain foods like red meat or chips or chocolate. I actually fasted from Coke and drinking Coke and also from boba, like, because I like those things. And so I gave that up for Lent. Other people gave up certain social media stuff, like, you know, not going on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever, all those other social media stuff, watching YouTube clips. I had a friend, a pastor friend, who said, hey, I'm not going to watch YouTube clips because that was his thing. You know, it could be a lot of different things, right? I think we give up these things for Lent, right? And I don't know how many of you guys have actually fasted before,
from certain things. But this is something that might be familiar to some of us, right? For those of you who aren't so familiar with fasting, really quick, just a general kind of big overview is this, okay? It's giving up something temporarily to focus all our attention on God through prayer, okay? And again, there's a couple of things. It's a temporary thing that we give up for the purpose of focusing all that we have, all our attention on God through prayer, okay? And there is something to be had with prayer and fasting. You could pray without fasting, okay? And we often pray without fasting. But you can't fast without prayer, okay? If you fast without prayer, then that's just dieting or just not eating or it's just not doing XYZ, whatever it is you're giving up, okay? That's not really fasting. You need to, when you fast, you need to pray and you need to focus your attention on God. And again, a lot, typically people would fast from food, okay, giving up certain foods. But again, it doesn't have to be food. It could be other things that you fast for. And again, we're going to explain a little bit more about why we fast and why and what's the purpose behind it or what we can kind of gain from it and what we can see happen if we fast and we pray, okay? So today, again, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about fasting and prayer and how these two things, when combined, when they go hand in hand, God can do some pretty cool things when we do it. So the first thing I want to look at is kind of our attitude. Okay, when we go into prayer and fasting, why we do it or what our attitude should be like, where we should kind of focus our attention before we start praying and fasting. And if again, if we look at the passage, if you guys have your Bibles open to Matthew 6, and we're looking at 16 to 18, this is what the Bible says. Again, I'll read it for you guys. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that they are fasting, may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you." What we first see here is that these people who are quote-unquote fasting, a lot of times they were not really doing it with a sincere heart, okay? A lot of times what they were doing was putting on a show, right? And so they would go out and for a lot of the, when Jesus was writing this, they would give up food, right? And so a lot of times they would, you know, agonize, be like, "Oh, I'm so hungry because I'm fasting for God. You know, oh man, I did not eat at all for, you know, this time because I'm so holy," right? And they're kind of going on, they're putting on the show, trying to show others that, "Hey, look at me, I'm fasting. I'm this great person who's given up all these things for God." And God's like, "You know what?" Jesus is like, that's the wrong attitude, right? This isn't a show. We're not trying to go out there trying to show people how holy we are. We're not doing it just because it's a ritual, because everyone else is doing it. But really, when we fast, when we pray, it comes from a sincere heart, a humble heart. Isaiah actually writes the same thing in Isaiah 58, and I'm going to spend some time kind of looking through Isaiah 58 because they kind of go hand in hand. But the first five verses say this, or three to five. Let me start from there. "Why have we fasted and you not see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you will seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such a fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" So what Isaiah is saying here, as he was preaching his message to the people, he was saying, "Do you feel like sometimes God isn't really listening to you, right? Sometimes when you pray, do you feel like God's kind of distant? Like, are you really there, God? Are you really listening to my prayers?" And he says a lot of times these people, they're quote-unquote fasting. They're pretending to fast and say, "Oh God, I want you to hear me, so I'm going to fast and do this ritual." But in fact, God isn't listening to them because, again, their hearts are in the wrong place, right? He says, "You are fasting for your own pleasure, for your own goals, for your own desires. Okay, that's not the type of fast that I'm looking for. Or you fast, you say one thing, you say, God, you know, I want you to, you know, do some great things in my life, but at the same time, they're not living that out, right? They're going ahead, they're arguing, they're fighting with people, they're quarreling, they're fighting. Their actions aren't matching up with their prayer life, with what they're doing. And Isaiah is saying, that is why God isn't listening, right? It seems like God is not there because your heart, your attitude, you're coming from a wrong place, right? So for us, again, when we come before God, when we say, God, I really want to fast and pray, right? This is a focus on Him, on His will, we want Him to be for what God wants for us to be done, right? And to try to align ourselves with Him and say, this is God, I'm doing this humbly so that your kingdom may come, right? This is the focus that we want. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their lands. Again, there's this attitude of coming before God and saying, you know what, God, it's not about me. I'm humbly coming, submitting myself to you. And when we do that, God hears. God does. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us, you know, our heart's desires. But we need to come before Him with the right heart, with the right attitude. Okay? So again, that's the first thing that we want to do. Okay? When we pray, every time we pray, but especially when we pray and fast together, come before God with this humble attitude, with a focus and attitude of, hey, God, my heart is not for myself, okay, but really for you. That's where we want to start first. Okay? So why do we fast? There's a lot of different reasons why we can fast. Okay? One reason is that fasting cultivates a dependence on God. Okay? When we fast, we're giving something up that we feel like we can't give up. Okay, so again, for me, I love drinking Coke. Okay, much better than Pepsi, by the way. It's got to be Coke. And I like my milk teas. Okay, it's really, really good, tasty, sweet stuff, sweet drinks. And so it's hard, right, to kind of give that up. But you're saying, okay, God, this is something, you know, that I feel like I can't give up, but I'm going to give this up for you, right? That's kind of the attitude that you kind of go into, right? And so it could be a lot of different things. One year I actually did fast from red meat, which was really hard as well because I like my steaks, and that's very yummy. But you know, again, it's different things that we can kind of give up, or some people have fasted all food, right? God, it's a dependence on you that, you know what, you're the one that is sustaining me. You are the one that is the one who I need, not these other things, right? Not these other distractions, right? Maybe it's, I'm going to fast from going to the mall because I feel like I can't not go to the mall, right? Or I'm going to fast from, you know, playing this video game because that's all that's consuming my time and energy and my focus, right? We can give up these things that we feel like we can't give up to cultivate this dependence on God that, hey, God, you're the one that I really need. We live in a really lucky place, right? Lucky town right here in the Bay Area. We're really well off. And, you know, especially just in the States generally and then up here in the Bay Area, we have a lot. And I think it's easy for us to just kind of depend on just what we have, the income that we have, the allowances that we get. Just kind of, hey, you know, I can sustain myself. I can do myself. And I also think it's a very Asian thing, right, to say, you know what, I can do it on my own. I work hard. It's my own work that I can do it, right? I mean, a lot of times we depend just kind of on our own strength, on our own wisdom. And when we fast, though, when we do this, it's saying, okay, God, I can't do this on my own. I really do need you. And so I'm going to give this time, I'm going to give this away so I can focus on depending, really understanding what it means to depend on you. Kind of similarly, along the same way, fasting is a way for us to really humble ourselves and repent and say, God, you know what, again, not only do I really depend on you, but my life is really all in your hands. In the Old Testament times, they had a certain days that they would fast. And there's a great day, the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, modern-day Yom Kippur, where they really focus on this fasting and repentance, a chance for them to turn around and say, God, you know what, I humble myself, I understand that you're the one that gives me even life itself. It starts there, right? I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your mercy. You know, I'm just a sinner. And yet, God, you love me and you forgave me. And so I come and I fast as a way to remind myself not just that I depend on God, but that my life is from God. Right? He is the one who has given me this life. And so that's another way why, or another reason why we can fast, or why we should fast, is to remind ourselves that, hey, God, this is, my heart is yours. Right? It's a repentance of asking God, again, will you forgive me? God, you have forgiven me. I thank you for that, for repenting and coming before him. Okay? Another reason why we should fast is that this is actually a spiritual discipline. Jesus often, he preached about teaching about fasting and praying. John the Baptist did that as well. The New Testament church, the early church in Acts, there's members that just, it was a part of who they were. I know for a lot of times for us, we think of fasting maybe only for certain occasions, right? Or maybe only through Lent. When Lent comes around, then I'm going to fast, and that's it. But this was actually something that Jesus taught that he hoped would be a part of every Christian, every disciple of his, that this would be a practice that they do either daily or weekly or just on a regular basis, that they would continue to fast and pray. And so for us, I really encourage you and challenge you that to make this a part of, you know, your everyday life, just to give up something, you know, so that you can focus on God. And it's as much of a spiritual discipline as doing your daily devotions or tithing or these other things, serving, coming in and serving a part of this church. Fasting is right along in those of the same lines of a spiritual discipline that we should practice. Okay? However, along the same lines, continuing on, why we pray and fast is we can, and a lot of times people do this, is for specific reasons. Okay? And I said earlier on that when you pray and when you fast, when you combine those things together, there's actually something a lot more powerful that can come through that. When we really fast and when we really give up something so that we can focus all our attention on God, pray to Him, God can do some pretty amazing things when we do that. So there's a couple of examples of why we could fast and pray for specific things. For example, you can fast and pray when you're going through just an anxious time, a time of just distress, a time of just hardship. Okay, when things are just crazy in your life, you don't know what's going on, and you just want to call out to God, you can pray, you can fast, and say, God, I don't know what's going on, I need you right now. Would you come into the situation and reveal yourself? And you can pray and fast for those times of distress. We see this in the Bible, three examples right here. First is David. Then David took hold of his clothes, and he tore them, and so did all the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan, his son, and for the people of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. When David heard that Saul had died and when his good friend Jonathan had died, he prayed and he fasted because his heart hurt, right? Because his good friend had died. And he was distressed, he was distraught, he was going through this crazy time. He said, God, let's pray. I'm going to pray and fast. Rely on your strength. You rely on your comfort. That's what he was doing. And he, you know, all the people kind of did that during this crazy time. Another one, Nehemiah. When he saw that the wall had broken, right, he said this, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and mourned for days and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Again, he saw the walls of had broken down and he wept and he cried and he fasted for that. In the same way, King Darius did this as well. Then the king commanded and Daniel was brought before and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and slept fled from him. So here, King Darius, after he threw Daniel into the lion's den because of a mistake he made, listening to those people who wanted to catch Daniel. He prayed and he fasted for Daniel as well. Again, a time of distress, a time of hardship, going through tumultuous times. And so for you, I don't know, perhaps you guys are going through some situation in your life where it's kind of uncertain, you don't know what's next, and things are kind of crazy. Maybe it's a physical thing that you're struggling through, or a relational thing. Maybe it's a work thing where people are getting laid off and you don't know if you'll have a job. And whatever it is, right? Whatever situation that you're really distressed in, I encourage you, fast, pray, you know, and ask that God would kind of reveal himself in that. The next thing, a reason why we can fast and pray, is for the direction. God, I don't know what is next for me. What's you know, down the line in my future? Could you direct me? You can pray and you can fast. We see this in the early church again. This is from Acts 13:2-3. Now there were in church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and set them off. And so here, the early church, what they were doing, they were praying and fasting. It was a part of their routine that they kind of just did. Again, it wasn't a specific thing. But they're praying and fasting, asking God for kind of direction. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "You know what? I want you guys to send Barnabas and Saul off on a mission trip," right? Send them off. And they got direction from what, you know, what they were to do. And so that they went and they planted a lot of churches. And, you know, we read all these letters that Paul wrote to the church. And that started from them praying and fasting and kind of sending off Paul and Barnabas, or Saul back then, Saul, Paul, right, and Barnabas. For myself, I did this once as well when I was going into ministry and kind of thinking about, should I go into pastoring or not right out of college? And I spent, you know, some time praying and fasting, kind of asking for direction. Like, "God, I don't know what's next. Do you really want me to do this or not?" You know, I was thinking I was going to go into film and stuff like that, but you're kind of calling me to go into ministry. Very different. You know, what should I do? And so I prayed and fasted. And I think God did make it clear to me that, hey, this is the direction that I want you to go in. Same thing. After a while, I did not finish my seminary degree for a long time. And again, I was like, okay, maybe God, I was wrong. Right? Is this really what you want? And prayed and fasted and kind of asked, hey, God, direction, give me clarity. And again, God provided that. Relationships could be the same thing. You know, like, should I marry this person or not? Or date this person or not? You could pray and fast about that. You know, or what college should I go to? You know, is this really the one that... You could pray and fast about these directions, these kind of big things. You know, should I move to this place or not? Pray, fast for these, for God's direction in your life. Ask him for that. Okay? So please do when you're confused. Again, not really knowing what's next ahead of you. Pray, fast. Okay, I encourage you to do that. Another reason for you to pray and fast is to pray for protection over people, or kind of a blessing over people. We just read that what the early church did with Paul and Barnabas, right? As they prayed and fasted and they blessed them. They prayed protection over them. Similarly, another time they did this, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord whom they had believed. One of the things that we do when we send teams off to mission trip is we commission them and we pray for them, right? And one more step that we can even do is to fast for them as well, to pray protection over them, to say, you know what? As they're going off on this trip, we really pray, we fast for them that God may protect them and use them. They prayed and fasted, the early church did, for their church leaders. They said, you know what, God, we really want you to protect our church leaders spiritually, so we're going to pray and fast for them. Can you guys do that as well? Is this something that you can practice, to pray, to fast for people, to ask for spiritual protection and covering over them, for the church leaders, for even our country leaders, right? For all those things, we pray and we can fast for them. The last thing that we can do, or reason why we can fast and pray, is what Isaiah says, breaking the chains of injustice. Okay, so back in Isaiah, this is verse 6, he says this: "Is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh?" We can pray and we can fast for the world. We can say, you know what, God, the world is crazy. There's a lot of injustice kind of going on, not just here in the States, all across the world. And I'm going to pray and fast that, God, your justice would be done, that you would, you know, bring, you know, justice, you know, and that you would come and make things right. And there's a lot of different things going on. I have one example. I don't know if you guys know or heard of Matt and Grace Wong. I actually have some of my friends know them personally. They're a Christian couple. They had adopted 3 kids, and they moved to Qatar, and they're actually wrongfully imprisoned right now. And you can go, if you want, on their website, Free Matt and Grace. Let me read this for you. I think they write it a little bit more clearly of what the situation was going on. Matthew and Grace Wong are an American couple from Los Angeles who moved to Qatar with their 3 young children in 2012. Matthew's American employer had asked Matthew, a Stanford-trained engineer, to go to Qatar to help oversee a major infrastructure project related to the 2022 World Cup improvements. On January 15, 2013, the Huang's 8-year-old daughter, Gloria, died unexpectedly in Doha. Gloria had not been ill, at least not outwardly so. Her body showed no signs of trauma or other violence. Nevertheless, the Qatari police immediately suspected foul play. They arrested the Huangs the very next day and put the Huangs and their other 2 children in orphanage. Qatari officials subsequently charged Matthew and Grace with murdering Gloria, concluding their plan was to harvest her organs or to conduct medical experiments on her, and accused the Huangs of obtaining all 3 of their children via human trafficking, which is a lie. If convicted, the minimum sentence facing the Huangs is 25 years in prison, but prosecutors sought out the death penalty. As their trial started and stopped, the Huangs spent nearly a year in Qatari jail before being released on their own recognizance, after the evidence proportion of their trial concluded in November 2013. They remained barred from leaving Qatar while awaiting the outcome of their trial. In the Qatari court scheduled that verdict would be announced on March 27, 2014. On that day, the court sentenced Matthew and Grace to 3 years in prison. Inexplicably, the court did not render a verdict of any kind. It did not find Matthew and Grace guilty or not guilty of murder or any other crimes. It simply sentenced them to prison and imposed a fine of 15,000 Qatari rials. They are innocent, and their continued detention in Qatar is a gross violation of their rights as established in the United Nations Charter of Human Rights. Anyway, so they're still stuck in Qatar. They cannot leave, and still trials still kind of going on. There's still stuff there. And there has been petitions and prayers, and people say, hey, you know, would you pray for them? Would you fast and pray for them that justice may be done, that they may be able to come out of this? Here's a picture of their family again. And this is just one example of some of the injustice that kind of goes on in the world, you know. And we can, when we see it, when we hear it, we can pray and fast, you know, that God would, you know, show himself in those situations, that he would come and make things right. This is just one example, but again, there's a lot just kind of going on in the world, and we can pray, we can fast for the world. Okay, let me go ahead and kind of finish off reading the rest of Isaiah 58, because this is God's promise. When we really come humbly before him, when we really come with the right heart and attitude, when we really fast and pray with that right heart, this is what God promises. Okay, he says this: "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard or your protection. Then you shall cry, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness, and your gloom be as noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desires in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, those waters who do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, and do not go your own ways, or seeking your own pleasures, or talking idly, then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, from the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is, I think, a pretty cool promise that God makes for his people, that if you really humble yourself, if you really come before God with the right heart, right attitude, if you really desire God's justice to be done and you pray for these things, if you fast, you humble yourself, God says, yeah, I will hear you. I will listen. I want to do great things through your prayers. And so I encourage you, I really do challenge you guys to make prayer and fasting just more of a part of our lives. Okay. Again, it doesn't have to be every day, but try to do it more frequently. And just, you know what, I'm going to give up something, whether it be food, some social media, some games, whatever it is. I'm giving that up, TV shows, whatever it is. I'm going to give this up so that I can focus and pray, you know, for the world, for my friends, for people, for the leaders of this church, you know, and also for myself, for direction, for what God you want me to do, how I can be a part of what you're doing here. Okay? So let's continue to have this desire to fast and pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again just for your promise to us that you hear our prayers, that you desire to do great things through the prayers of our what we want to pray for. And we pray that you would help us to come before you humbly, that we would really humble ourselves and say, God, you know, take myself, take my heart, my desires, all these things, align them to your will, align them to what you want me to do. And I pray, God, that you would use those prayers to just work in this world, that we would be a part of that, that we really see you work, that we would go in your name. And so continue just to use us as your people to pray and fast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.